And good morning, KBOO's Radio Zine. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from, in other words, Women's Books and Resources, your local nonprofit feminist bookstore and resource center, offering community space, events, gifts, tools for the revolution, a comprehensive collection of women's writings, and more. Located at 3734 Southeast Hawthorne and on the web at www.inotherwords.org. And I'm Jim Thompson, and in the studio with me this morning is the world-renowned conductor of opera and symphony, Stefan Minda, and accompanied by his wife, Edith. Stefan has a very long, long history of conducting and roots here. Even though he was born elsewhere, he does have some. He has put down roots here in Portland, starting in about 1970 as the conductor of the Portland Opera, from 1970 through about 1984. Is that right?
That's right.
Morning Star. Get right up to the microphone. Don't be shy. I know you're not. So, good morning, Stefan and Edith.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Welcome. Really glad that you are here. I'll read just a little bit from the biography, and then what we can do, I will just let you fill in some of the more interesting affairs. You, well...
She's my fellow.
Okay. Either one of you. Just don't speak at the same time. But Stefan Minda was born in Leipzig, Germany. As a student, was a member of the world-renowned St. Thomas Choir in Leipzig. Now, wait a minute. St. Thomas, isn't that... That's where... That sounds familiar. That's somebody else used to work there.
That's correct. I mean, this was founded 1212, and Johann Sebastian Bach was, at the time when he was alive,
founded 1212.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago.
Hey, true.
Okay, so. We're getting back in history. That's kind of like looking through the lens of a time machine here.
Yes.
Yes, and Johann Sebastian Bach was a cantor at that, in 17th century, of course, 18th century.
Yes, and for many years. Right?
Yes.
Yes. And how long were you there? You were there as a student.
Yes, from 47 till 54.
Okay, in Leipzig.
That's Leipzig, yeah.
Leipzig.
And that was the year when we met, because he fled from the East Germany, and we met in Nuremberg, and we studied together.
You fled from Leipzig. Now, the Leipzig is in East Germany.
That's awesome. That's correct.
Okay. And so you were there after the war in East Germany. Boy, I would be very interested to hear what life was like.
Lousy.
Oh.
Not very good.
Well, what was lousy about it?
Well, I mean, this is that's
they were spied always. You know, it was just this suppressive country. It was not a democracy, and so whatever they said was kind of really watched and was reported, and it was very dangerous. It's like under Hitler.
Ah.
You know, it was everything you did was.
Was observed and watched.
And if somebody did something very, very freedom-like, okay, they got punished, they got incarcerated, and all this. It's just a dictatorship.
Dictatorship. No freedom of speech.
No
yes.
way.
No.
Freedom of movement.
Well, he could walk, but but it was censored. What you were saying, what you were singing, what you were writing, anything was like this.
Okay. There are some people who see that kind of thing happening today in the United States.
Oh, yes.
Right? Yes. You know, with the stories of government spying and such. You know,
yes.
National ID card. You know, it's show me your papers.
Well, one does hope that the American people do not allow it to get that far as there.
I dare say most people say that it can't happen here, but I wonder.
Hope.
Hope. Hope is wonderful. So you left there, let's see, you were in 1954. I was very young in 1954.
Me too.
How did you leave? How did you leave?
I guess this was a trip or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, she knows it much better than I do. You know?
Well, he's a little bit shy with English, but he was fleeing. They were on a concert tour, and he stepped out of the train in Nuremberg, where I lived, and we didn't know from each other. And he took the asylum, and then he lived with friends there, and we studied together, and that's how we got together in 1954.
Well, that sounds easy, just stepping off the train. That doesn't sound hard.
No, of course.
You were hiding until the train left again.
Yes. Wow. Well, that could have been a very, very good move. But while you were with the St. Thomas Choir, you did some traveling.
Oh, yes.
Performing around Europe and other places.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Russia, especially Russia. This was the best trip we have ever done. Phenomenal people, wonderful people there. Very good. You know. I just really loved it. Yeah. So we were in Kiev and in Moscow and in Leningrad. It was wonderful. Wonderful time.
And that was and that was after the war, is that right?
Yeah, that was. I was in Russia, 54 in the summer or something like this.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And you were able to visit the Kremlin?
Yes.
Okay.
And at the time, we had a big dinner invitation from the
government.
So I met all those guys, you know, but it was really fascinating, you know. And, it was big.
Well, you met all those guys, like who? What,
well, at this time was Bulganin there. Bulganin was...
He was a minister, one of those...
But was Gorbachev, you know Gorbachev, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So that was Gorbachev before, long before.
Oh, long before.
Yeah, yeah. So then came before Stalin and blah, blah, blah. So Bulganin was one of those guys.
But Stalin was still alive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was still alive.
So it was a real Stalin Russia.
That's true.
Stalinist Russia, that's something out of the history books. You know, very difficult for me to imagine, you know, beyond that, beyond the readings. And maybe a few movies we've seen, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that was when we came to America, we felt it's a country where you can really speak. I mean, I grew up in Czechoslovakia, but then after the war I was in West Germany, and I didn't experience all this. But when we came to America, it was, you can say what you want, especially for him. You can do what you want. If you don't just kill someone, you have your freedom.
Well, how you, when you came to America, that was in 1968?
I guess so, yes.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And your first job here was at Tanglewood?
Yes.
Tanglewood, working with Eric Leinsdorf?
That's correct, yes.
How did you manage to get that job? Because that's a pretty good job to get, I would say.
Well, it's basically a kid up to her, you know. You can tell her.
I committed a little crime. Because when we read about Tanglewood, he said, oh, well, I said, well, why don't you try it? And he said, well, I don't think they will take me. I'm not really able to do that. So I wrote a letter as if I were him. I pretended and I kind of falsified his signature, and he got a letter back from Eric Leinsdorf. They met in Luzern, in Switzerland, and he was invited. So, the crime paid.
So crime does pay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was a minor bit of
right.
A minor bit of forgery. We won't tell anyone. We'll keep your secret safe.
Yeah, okay. Nobody hears it right now.
No. No, this is just, you know, private conversation here.
Yeah.
Among us. That's an amazing story. And that was in 1968.
Yes.
And that was shortly before you came to Portland then. That wasn't long. That
2 years before. Yeah. Afterward, yes.
2 years before.
We came actually only for how many weeks?
For 6 weeks.
For yes. 6 weeks. It came now. How many years, for God's sake.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Very long 6 weeks.
A very long 6 weeks. Well, what made you decide to stay? So apparently, when you came here, you were intending to stay for 6 weeks and then return.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. Okay. So I got some sort of a price.
Okay.
And then Mr. Adler, who was the manager of the San Francisco Opera, called me up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And asked me whether I should come to him for whatever.
To conduct
or something like this. And I was not so very, but she's a culprit, this girl here. Ask her.
It's her fault. So I understand you were indecisive. You weren't sure that you wanted that.
That's right.
Do that.
Yes, and we were sitting kitty corner at the desk in the office of Tanglewood Festival. And I heard, of course, on the other phone, and I kicked him and said, say yes, 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 yes. And so he did. And that's how we're here.
And then you told Mr. Adler that, well, my wife said I should say yes.
Subsidy taxes. That's, unfortunately, I mean, he's dead now, and but I really... We had sometimes our fights, you know, but I loved it, you know. Wonderful.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
You had your fights.
Oh, my God, yes, yeah.
Fisticuffs?
No, not necessarily so, but I mean, just...
Artistic.
Yeah.
Ah. Just artistic conflicts. Those I understand.
Yeah.
You know. So it does. The time is 10:15 in the morning, and it's a beautiful morning in Portland. And this is KBOO, and I'm Jim Thompson for KBOO's Radio Zine. And in the studio, we have conductor Stefan Minda and his wife Edith, who are here telling some wonderful stories about their experiences throughout the world and here in Portland. And you moved to Portland then in 1970.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And you then, for the next, 14 years, were the conductor, music director, is that right, of the Portland Opera?
I mean, what might they call it, the general director, you know. So I conducted everything and made my own plans, what to do, what not to do, and so forth. But it makes... That was the position, yeah. And, it's so far quite interesting because I have introduced more or less, especially the German repertoire here. I mean, I did from Richard Wagner almost everything. I did, for instance, Freischütz by Weber, which no one knew. Okay. And I mean, all those things, you know. It was very, very, very attended because, it says,
well, it was not the bread and butter opera all the time. Yeah. It was something innovative which made it more interesting.
But the more such pieces occurred, the fuller it became. It's always so.
So we had Minotti here, and he was staging
the consul.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had a world premiere with Wuthering Heights by Herrmann.
Yeah.
And then also we had an American premiere with Life of Orestes, which is by Czernik. He is a Czech composer who lived, he died now too, in America, and he translated it himself. So, and Stefan did that. It was.
Yeah, this, as a matter of fact, this opera from Czernik was the very first opera I ever conducted in my life in Wiesbaden, without any rehearsals. That was so. I mean, sometimes you had to do this. You know?
Yeah, the original conductor was very ill, became very ill, and so you can do it.
Oh, so you walked on stage and...
she knows it.
Yeah, he was a little coach then, you know, just as a beginner. And, of course, I was all the time there, and I was praying and trembling and everything, but he did a very good job. It was in the newspaper.
And then, after this, I mean, when I came here, it just came to my mind, you know, I said, this is a good piece, and with everything in it, in this piece, there's love, there's... big chorus, big ballet, big, love, hate, and everything. I mean, it's everything there, you know. Perfect.
So you have made some significant contributions to the music world here in Portland.
You hope, we hope so.
If I may give my opinion, I think that you definitely have. And for the audience, I will just like to let everybody know that I have known Stefan for just a few years. It goes back to 2001 at the Hillsboro Symphony Orchestra, which is a community orchestra. It's a grassroots kind of organization that was founded by a handful of musical activists who recognized that there were many closet musicians in the area. And by that I mean people who have, amateur musicians, who have set their instruments aside, that are collecting dust in their closets. And we tried to get put together an organization so that you know, these people would have a musical outlet. And Stefan, at that time, very generously offered his services as a volunteer for free to conduct and to be the music director and in the orchestra, and he did that for the first 2 years of this orchestra, and I was a member. I played second violin, and I'd just like to take this opportunity to let you know that I am very grateful, and there are many, many people who are grateful for that contribution. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And touch.
And yeah, and that, again, that was starting in 2001. But you also have another group, another musical.
Oh yeah, this is the Symphony Concertante. We founded 1991, I guess.
Sinfonia Concertante.
Yeah, that's right. That's a so-called professional orchestra, and that do
chamber orchestra.
Yeah. It's the most, it's the very most, about 32 people, you know, and,
So I should take it away. I can talk. It's a chamber orchestra with professional musicians, and we have, we open the season always with a Christmas concert, either with Bach or Christmas oratorio or similar music. And then we have now on the 29th of April, we have another concert, which is the 250th birthday of Mozart. You can have Mozart, you never can have enough of it. And that will be announced also.
And this group is unlike the Hillsboro Symphony. This is a professional orchestra, union musicians.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Musicians Hall is just down the street here.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And the name Sinfonia Concertante comes from because we don't take soloists, most of the time we don't take soloists from somewhere else. They are mostly from within the orchestra. And we have excellent musicians for that.
And they're all local musicians?
Yes.
So you're not, yeah, okay. You're not hiring ringers from around the world?
No.
Nice local. We had this guy from Japan, this tiny
this little 10-year-old child who played, what was it, Mozart violin concerto. Rio Goto, and we might get him back again. He's now already a little bit more than 10 years old.
At 10, oh my, would that be fun?
Yes.
So that leaves a little gap here. I'd like to just inquire, between 1884 and 91, were you active then musically here? Or?
Not really. You went actually more for guest conducting. He went to Japan and to Lisbon, Portugal. And
in Japan. What did you do in Japan?
I did say Messiah and Christmas Oratorio.
By Bach.
The Bach Christmas Oratorio.
Yeah. Which was also funny because it was, people told me before I made the contract, the orchestra is no problem. They can do this, you know. Watch out with the chorus. Chorus, I mean, they've never done this in their life. You know, they've never done Messiah and so forth. It was exactly the contrary. The orchestra was, at the beginning, not good.
Huh?
But the chorus was phenomenal. I must say, it was very good. And then I had a little talk with the concertmaster, and then I said, well, we have to do it in this way, and there is no way around that we cannot do it. And then it was very good. Once they got it, really, they didn't know anything, for instance, recitative, you know, which goes basically free, you know, free of timing or something like this. You know. When they didn't know that things, well, that's not easy to explain.
Well, Stefan told me when he came back that they must have practiced the entire night after the first rehearsal, because the next day it was just turned around.
Yeah, because I had only one rehearsal. You know. I had 5 hours rehearsal, but that was it, in one day. You know.
Oh, that would be a long day.
Yeah.
That was in Ahasuekawa in the North Island, and then in Sapporo. Sister city of Portland.
Yeah, that's right.
And in Japan, you learned about the tea ceremony.
Oh yes. I like those guys, you know. But you sit there and you don't think any bad things about anybody. You know, I mean, you'd be there just sitting and waiting for your tea and what you eat, and it's just no any bad thoughts about anybody.
You know, but what did you tell about the tea?
Huh?
What did you tell about the tea?
I don't know.
He said
is there a story here?
Very, very bitter, and the cookies were very, very, very sweet.
Oh.
So he had to force himself to eat and drink it.
Oh.
It was very lovely, you said.
It's okay. What can I do?
But it was a new and different experience.
Oh, yeah, very good, yes. They had the extra room in the house, just for the tea ceremony.
Yes.
When I talked with the girls who do such things, they said it's very tricky if you do it correctly. They have to learn it about for 10 years, just to learn how this goes and how which step to take, this would blah, blah. It's very, very, very tricky. But it's okay.
Okay. So we have just a few more minutes here. Is there anything else that, you know, you really would like to say to the world, you know? Well, you have this opportunity.
Okay, world, here we come. Well, he was guest conducting, and when he was conducting the festival in Arizona, in Flagstaff, he broke down and had a quadruple heart surgery, bypass.
And you have to exactly say what I did. I did the ring cycle
there. He did the ring cycle there, and during Götterdämmerung, before Götterdämmerung, he broke down once. He did the entire Götterdämmerung, and afterward, he still was, the next week, he said, okay, I will not do the first part of the ring. He did it twice. And he broke down after Valkyrie, and they flew him over to Phoenix, operated him, and since then he's like new.
On stage? This is on stage?
No, it was in the night. It was after the performance. It came just like a flash from the lightning from heaven. But they fixed him perfectly well again, which is good.
Well, he was always there. That's good, too.
Okay.
I couldn't do this. That's good.
Okay. There is a little bit of opera news that I'd like to share with everybody. Is that this is from the New York Times. Is that the soprano, Birgit Nilsson, died at the age of 87. And this was on December 25th, but it was just announced yesterday. And, in fact, the music that we heard this morning, Birgit was featured on that. That was a recording from 1968, and I think when her voice was still up there.
She was phenomenal. She was phenomenal. I mean, I saw her very, quite frequently, you know. I saw her in New York, and I saw her in San Francisco, and she was fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's just a wee bit of sad news. And I think we are just about out of time. And I sure want to thank you guys for coming and sharing your stories.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having us here.
Thank
it's been
you.
A real pleasure.
Thank you very much.